Do you feel like your business is running your life instead of the other way around? I'm Roy Castleman. I've built multiple seven-figure companies, worked across continents, and coached high-performing entrepreneurs. But I've also been completely burnt out. At one point, I was barely seeing my daughter, drowning in stress, and one step away from walking away from it all. That's when I made a decision to build a business and a life that works for me. The journey became Elevate 360. A system to help business owners reclaim their time, find their energy again, and get back in control without sacrificing growth. And this podcast, Power Movers, is where I share real stories behind that shift. Each week, you'll hear from entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders who've walked through the fire and come out of the other side with clarity, courage, and a system that works. If you're ready to build a business that gives you more life instead of taking it away, you're in the right place. Hey guys, I'm joined today by two amazing individuals, both of who have inspired me in my journey so far, Alex and Simon. And Simon works with me at All the Power, and Alex has worked with me in the past, and he's done some work on some of my marketing and given me advice on this journey. And I bring these guys together today because, they're both runners. And when I say they're both runners, they don't just run. They run. I can run 5Ks, maybe. Yeah, these guys go a long way. And I just want to introduce Alex a little bit. Alex is a marketing man. He loves the telling of stories. He's also somebody after my own journey. He's really digging into this idea of living your life you love, right? Not just working to live, but living to work and the other way around. He enjoys what he's doing, and he's got some interesting things to tell us. So, Alex, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Thank you very much, Roy, for the introduction. Thank you, Simon. Yeah, so my story is really about changing identity. I struggled for years with being a workaholic, so I am a recovering workaholic and a recovering people pleaser. I started my business 14 years ago as an agency. I used to do everything, and when I used to work with Roy, the stories that I created were on a different level. I think it was 6-7 years ago. So the short version of my story, 15 years ago, I got fired from an advertising agency. I used to work with Mercedes, Heinz, all the big brands, and I said I'm gonna start my agency. So I started my agency, and then throughout this 15 years, obviously, I had ups and downs like all business people had. And 2 years ago, I started therapy. A couple of years before, I think 5 years ago, I started personal development and Tony Robbins and all the stuff that goes with it. But really, the major change happened when I started therapy. And I realized that I don't need the agency module. Like, I don't need to have an agency to prove to other people that I know my stuff. And then I realized even a harder truth that I'm not that good in marketing. I'm like average. I had the brands to prove that I worked with huge brands in my agency, and I was lucky and fortunate enough. But as a marketeer, brand strategist, I was below average. And that made me realize, actually, I don't need to be an agency owner, because that's just a wrap of low self-esteem and trying to prove to my mom mostly that I'm worthy of love, because she never showed me any love, and she's Russian. And if you know anything about Russian parents, they're very, if you're not a doctor or lawyer, you're a failure. So obviously I was a class, I wasn't good at school. So that was for her, I think, so painful. A son that wasn't good at school, and no, he's not a lawyer. I was into sports. And then, I was working as a barista. Then I started as marketing in a web development company. But major shift happened. I closed my agency last year. I decided to be a freelancer, storyteller. I invested a lot of time, energy into my skills as a brand strategist and storyteller. And from the time that I worked with Roy, my stories changed a lot. I added brand positioning, brand strategy, and I've just improved a lot the product, and I'm still improving. There's a lot to learn. And obviously now with AI, I use that to help with different elements. So I closed the agency. I rebranded my brand, and I did an identity shift of myself and how I perceive myself. And I'm in a stage where I don't need to prove to anyone anything. in terms of like what brands I worked with. Even before I worked with, I published a book, Another Pair of Shoes, and it is endorsed by Seth Godin. He's a marketing legend globally. Like, he's well known if you're in marketing, which I was very lucky and fortunate, but that was just a proof that you know what you're good at what you do. And yeah, fitness comes into place because I work now with.
Yeah, we'll jump into that. Let's not tell them the whole story straight away. Simon, give us a little bit about your, obviously you're working with All the Power now. You've been instrumental in helping me really take the business to the next level. And we're helping, business owners really understand themselves, understand their businesses, understand their physical piece. Tell us a little about a bit about your fitness journey more than anything at this stage.
Yeah, thank you, Roy. And Alex, it's great to meet you, right? I started running when I was 25, when I came out of the army, and I thought I'm going to get into this running thing. I'd heard about something called Comrades. I figured I'm going to try and run Comrades, which is a 90-kilometer run. And to do that, back in the day, you had to run a marathon under 4.5 hours to qualify. And in order to run a marathon, you need to be able to run as 10Ks, 21Ks, and build up to a marathon. My first attempt at a marathon, I ran 3:20, which I was pretty disappointed with. But in today's game, that would have been quite a good time. Anyway, I qualified to run Comrades. I then ran Comrades 21 years in a row. And I discovered along that way that running ultra distance actually told you a whole pile about yourself, because you go into a point of pain and you think you can go no further, and then you go a little deeper. And when you come out the other side, you feel immortal for another year. Just feel amazing. It's anyway, cut a long story. I'm almost 69 now, and I've never stopped with the fitness. And then I had the pleasure of bumping into Roy, who taught me how to breathe, which I didn't really know. Despite all those years of running, I didn't know how to breathe. So he taught me how to breathe properly. And the beauty of cold exposure. And I'm 40 years in the corporate world, and I'm semi-retired. I say semi because who the hell wants to retire anyway? You've got to do
For
something to
sure.
keep yourself busy. And
Yeah.
working with Roy has been a pleasure, man. They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. They're wrong. Okay, he's taught me a whole pile of new tricks, which is
Thank
great.
you, Simon. So I want to just dig in, Alex, and I want to come to one of those first questions that I'll ask everybody on here. When you were leaving the corporate world and going and to start yourself, when you very first started your own company, what did that feel like? What was it to take that step? Do you remember that time very well?
I remember that my thought was I just need a couple of clients to pay rent and food and loans that I had. And I was like, if I get, I don't know, two, three clients per month. But it was scary because I didn't have any savings, or I never had my family to support. If you don't have the money for the month, I couldn't call my dad, stepdad, or my mom. So the feeling was very like, okay, I don't know, but I'm going to try and knock on doors. And I called and emailed. And yeah, I was just lucky to get some clients, obviously, to get some food on the table.
And then when you had that very first invoice that came in that somebody paid you for your job, right? For your work, for you. Actually, I can do this. How was that?
That's amazing. It was amazing because I think it was 1,000 euros, and my rent was 400 at the time. I was living in Cyprus. I'm from Cyprus originally. I mean, I grew up in Cyprus, so it was amazing because wow, 1,000 euros! I can pay my rent, I can pay the car, I can pay the insurance, and yeah, it was. You never, I don't think you ever forget the first clients, but yeah, I remember the feeling that it was just priceless. And even more, there was a second client or a third client, I don't remember, but it was a very well-known client that makes more than 1 million a year, like 50 million, I think, at the time. And they just called. I obviously had meetings with them, and they called me. And they said, we would like to work with you because we like the strategies that you presented to us with social. I just started crying as well. This client, Beautyline, the name, this client is huge. They have 50 companies like Holland & Barrett and other big names. And they wanted to work with me. And obviously, with a person with a low self-esteem, it was like priceless.
Yeah, and that for me, that's such a powerful thing when you go and you start working for yourself, right? You come out of this protective layer of the employment world, and you have to go and make it yourself. And every single decision you make, every single step you take forward, Firstly, you're in control, but you're also, secondly, you're also in control of the failure. And you think, for me, I thought it was going to be easy. I thought, okay, I've been making hundreds of thousands of pounds of millions of pounds with clients that I'd gone to, I'd sold to, I'd done everything with. And then I started my own, and none of those people would talk to me because now I'm a one-man band. And it's, what do I do now? And sometimes you have to eat humble pie. You have to really go step back and say, okay, where do I start? And you have to learn all this stuff as you go forward. And for me, it was so formative. And just being able to look back and say, okay, that wasn't right. I have to do something else. And then this whole point of failure. So I want to talk a little bit. You mentioned you grew up in Cyprus. Tell me about what was that like? What was Cyprus like?
Hot Cyprus. That's my, obviously from my surname, people will say, you're not Cypriot. Yeah, I'm not, because my mom is Russian and my dad is a Russian, but he lives in Canada. But I grew up in Cyprus since a very young kid, so I'm Cypriot. But now I moved to London 13 years ago, like I feel Londoner. Cyprus is a beautiful country, but it depends what you want from life. Obviously, as a small island, people are not very ambitious. Not that it's a bad thing, it's just for me at the time. I just wanted to get out. But what I didn't understand back then, I was running away from myself, really. But this island is a beautiful island. It depends what you want. I can't say that anything bad about the island. It's just the mindset and how things happen there. If you're living there, let's say small things like I love the UK. I love how efficient everything is. I lost my Monzo card. Now the next day it's in the post. I need to do something for my business, tight account. Boom, ready. In Cyprus, you need to go and do a stamp or a signature. It's like, Jesus Christ, it's like, it's strange. I don't know now, but I assume it's the same. I remember I went 4 years ago and I said, oh, I need to do something with my business account. And they said, yes, can you please come with a stamp? Because we need the signatures. I can't, I don't have the stamp. I haven't used the stamp. It's like, and I had a couple of hundred of pounds there. So you know what? keep it. But overall, it's a nice country, beautiful country, beautiful humans. But it depends where you are on your journey with your career and your life.
Cool. Everyone thinks of these places as as idyllic, and I came from South Africa, Zimbabwe, South Africa, and then came to the UK. And for me, it was also the same. It was just this amazing big melting pot of opportunities and things there. So you went through your business journey, and you talk about being a workaholic, and you talk about really digging in. Give us a flavor of what that actually felt like day to day, week to week. You were driving through, and we'll touch on your mental challenges in a bit, but you were driving through this being a successful businessman story. And what did that look like? What were you trying to achieve at that point in terms of business?
In terms of business, obviously, I was trying to achieve sale. I was in survival mode constantly. So I was a workaholic because I was trying to survive and get the big invoices paid and staff paid, because at some point I had five people working in the office full time. But that was stressful because I was waking up at whatever time, let's say 7, going to the office and until 11 office, and that's it. And I didn't have any hobbies. I was really like food. Nutrition, that's crazy. I just McDonald's or whatever. So I was the unhealthiest person that I knew, and I was just working constantly. And hobbies for me was like, no. And I even had with my exes, I felt guilty if they wanted to watch Netflix because they're like, I can work and make more money and stuff. So it was a constant battle because I was unhealthy. I didn't have any hobbies. And actually, the hobby that started was running because I quit smoking 7 years ago. But I didn't enjoy it. I hated it. I'm just going to go for a 5K run around the corner. And that obviously now evolved to a lot of things that I'm doing. But that was like, oh shit, I'm going for 30 minutes run. I'm taking away from my business. I could have been emailing potential clients. So it was a struggle being a workaholic. But at the time, I was listening to not the wrong people, just different people like Gary Vaynerchuk, Grant Cardone, all the well-known business gurus, which they played a huge part in my journey, but unfortunately, I think they just confirmed what I thought. Yeah, the harder you work, the more money you make, which is not true. I was working hard, but I wasn't making money. Yeah, but that changed, obviously. But overall, I felt bad because it was constant, and I wasn't like fitness really like running and fitness really saved my life because I had the very, especially moving to London and not knowing anyone, I had low moments, like low suicidal moments that I just don't want this anymore.
Yeah. And Simon, you've really had running as your constant fallback, haven't you?
Running has always been, well, for a very long time, been a part of my life. And it's interesting what Alex said. I had a very good friend who was a runner who actually took his own life. But running for me was a way to get back to, because Alex yourself, there is, especially when you put distance in, there is no shortcut. There is only you and yourself and your inner self. And you have to dig, and you have to dig deep. And you learn so much about yourself when you run ultra distance. So I always saw myself as an ultra runner because all those years in the corporate world, I was a change agent. So I was never the popular guy. I was the guy that actually went in with a carving knife and made people redundant and changed things and disturbed the norm. So running for me was a way to find my own peace, if you like, because I would go to work and I would be confronted with aggression and hostility, and because I would change things. And I would then find that going for a run was a way to connect back with the one thing I had all the way through as a core was a sense of values. And I never ever lost those. I got fired for my sense of values on quite a few occasions, to be honest, over my corporate life, because I would never compromise them. So never ever. And that stuck right through to this day. And it's, if you ask me, why do I do the fitness? Because it's a way to connect with your soul. And your soul is what it's all about. Connect with your soul, be true to yourself, never lie to yourself. And running doesn't allow you to lie to yourself. You know, when you get out there and when you're running a 100 miler, for instance, there's nowhere to hide. It's just you and your soul. So you go deep and you go deeper, and then you go really deep. You can go so deep that you didn't believe you could go that deep, and then you come back up. And when you do, when you come, I said earlier, when you come out the other side, you feel invincible for a while, and it's true. If you take yourself to a extreme sports, right, you've done extreme sports, when you get into the extreme stuff, the adrenaline factor. When people around you, I did whitewater canoeing for a while, and in those races, people would die. And you realize that actually you need to put your own competence on the line. And there really is nowhere to hide. It's because if you don't focus, you're going to end up dead. So I'm still here.
And to those extreme sports, Simon, all of us here are skydivers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Step
Well,
one.
skydiving is because of you. I have to say, I was scared of heights, and well, you should jump. I was like, when I met you, I said, no, but then I don't know how long it took, 5 years. And like, obviously, you know the story, I became a skydiver, which I'm very grateful for. And yeah, I skydived for what, a year, 2 years, but now I paused because just too many things going on.
Yeah. And all of us, yeah, I think what's really important for our audience to know is that as we go through our journey as business owners, right, we go and we try so many different things, right? But the whole path, it's a journey of us, of learning, of understanding, of getting to know ourselves, yeah, and getting to know what's important, right? I was in a situation where, the same as you, Alex, I was just go all the time, 14-hour days, no stress relief, no. And then I found some things. I found skydiving. I found various other things. And they brought me back into the present moment. And just bringing you to that present moment and taking you away from the main stressor in your day, that was super powerful for me. And that allowed me to go so much further than I had. And that's a lot of what me and Simon are doing now is we're saying to people, listen, get yourself some time, free yourself some time. And we'll talk to that in a second. And a good way of doing that now is with AI. But then after you've freed yourself some time, actually start working on yourself. You know, what's important to you? Yeah. How can you be your best version of yourself right now? Because if you can be the best version of yourself, then your business is only going to grow and succeed and be much, much better. And I think I noticed you, and I don't know if this is right or not, I noticed you started getting much deeper into the running because you said you started running, but you didn't really like it. How did you get into, suddenly running like stupid distances?
I have to say, before I say that, I have to say how important the things that we do impact other people. So Roy told me you should skydive, and I said, I'm not stupid. I'm not going to jump out of a plane because I'm scared of heights. Like, I'm scared of heights. And 5 years later, I don't remember exactly the days, I did a tandem jump in Cyprus, and I said, wow, this is amazing. And then, I don't know, a year later, I did one tandem jump in Dubai. And this is actually a business lesson. Cyprus, I said, how can I do a course, an AFF course? And then, oh, you have to do very Dubai, USP, next steps, AFF. And then I was like, oh, wow, that's, I can learn that in 7 days or whatever, 14 days. And then you told me about the instructor. And then I became a skydiver. But my point is, if Roy didn't tell me, plant the seed 5 years before, I would never, because skydiving is the best thing in the world. That drove me to do trail running and start doing, being more active. That drove me to be more aware. That drove me to do therapy, actually. Skydiving helped me to put my ego aside and say, you know what? I should do therapy. And it's not, you know, how people say sometimes it's this, and no, you should. So, and skydiving gave me the confidence to go and do other stuff, which I'm doing now. And yeah, there is obviously reasons though. Okay, well, like I said, I'm not jumping now, but it's not because I don't want to, it's because circumstances. I can't do 100 things at the same time. And I'm training very seriously for races and stuff, and it takes a lot of energy. But with running, I hated running. I hated this. Oh, Jesus. I used to tell my ex when we lived, another run, but you know what? It's better than smoking. And then, yeah, I just kept running, and I did, and then I put on weight. That's why. So I quit smoking. Gained a lot of weight. And I said, it's okay. You can be like a bit chubby as long as you don't smoke. And then, yeah, I kept running, and then I got into ultras. And then, yeah, I listened to David Goggins, and which is, I don't think he's a great guy, but at some point, I think you have to switch him off because it's too much. And I was doing it from an unhealthy place, running more. But now, like after, yeah, so I continued, and then I became a running coach. So I said, okay, I'll go and do British Athletics course. It's 3 months. I did the running coaching, and then I decided to do, I had different running coaches. I had Ironman coaches, I had a personal trainer and nutritionist, and all this cost money. And I was like, but then all the advice contradicts, and I couldn't lose weight. I was overweight, and I was like, I was running. I was like, but I'm running 100 Ks. I'm running so much every day. Why am I putting weight, 86, 87 kilos? And it just got frustrating. I was like, but I'm running, I'm exercising. But then obviously the key was nutrition that I learned from my personal trainer. And then, yeah, I just, yeah, that's what led me to become, to start a small business as a online fitness coach, because I understood running is not just running. You need to do strength training, you need to do nutrition. And yeah, one thing led to another. And it's, yeah, but I think the biggest lesson in running is you just have to try different things and see what sticks. I tried skydiving, loved it. I tried short distance running. I never run a marathon, actually. I hate marathons, but I love ultra. That's, my distances are 100K, 170K. I did Dragon's Back race, one of the toughest races in the world last year. And I decided actually it was the worst race in my life. And I said, this is not for me. And I finished. But after that, I had a huge self awareness, like not self-awareness, assessments. Yeah, great. I finished it. Cool. Not for me. Hated every single moment of that race. I hated it because obviously bugs and all the stuff. But I think you become more self-aware with running, and you understand actually multi-distance, 380 kilometers, 16,500 feet elevation up and down in bogs in Wales. No, thank you very much. But 100K, yes, like I'm doing obviously. So I think it helps you with your self-awareness. It helped me with my self-awareness. And one of the things that I learned as a coach, if I love ultra running and Roy hates it, it doesn't mean you need to do ultra running. And that's what a great coach does. He says, okay, what do you like, Roy? What do you like, Simon? Maybe you like cycling. I tried Ironman. I did two Ironmans and I loved them, but it's not for me because the logistics of it, training was, I don't like swimming. It's too much. It's not effective. And that's where my skill sets, I create effective training plans for me and for my clients and our business owners, because it's not about being in the gym 7 days a week, 2 hours. It's just being effective. And Ironman for me, it's just the training is not effective to my lifestyle. I love it. Amazing race. One of the best races. But That's where self-awareness and running comes. No, trail running and running, this is my thing. Like I enjoy it, I love it, and I hope, Simon, that at your age, I really, first of all, I hope I reach your age, and second of all, when I reach your age, I hope I'll still be running and being able, and the universe gives me this amazing, incredible power to run and enjoy my body and be present every morning that I go. And it's not, I think a lot of times people say, oh, you just run. It's not just running. You connect with yourself, you connect with nature, you connect with, you have to be mindful, because every week I'm very mindful of, okay, yeah, I listen to podcasts, books, and all that stuff, but there is a day, usually on Mondays, gratitude runs for me. Just look around. Be present. Yeah, on Tuesday I'll listen to a podcast. On Wednesday I'll listen to a book, but we have to be really mindful and yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point to make there, right? We work with business owners, but we try and ensure that business owners find what works for them, right? In terms of, even the business model they're following that needs to work for them. In the wellness space, we do cold exposure, we do breath work, we do exercise, we do meditation. And these are all things that have helped me over the period and helped Simon over his period. But it might not be for everybody, right? Some people might like to go for a walk with a dog. Some people might like going cycling. And but as long as you're doing something, something that connects you to your mind and something that gives you some clarity and some peace and some ability to actually go outside of that stress mode of working in a business. Now, but being a business owner is so stressful if you let it be, right? If you don't love what you're doing, if you really don't love what you're doing, then you need to try and do something else. And what I find so often that I've seen with a number of my clients now is they used to love what they were doing, right? And they just got beaten down by everything because they didn't have a system to work. They didn't give themselves clarity. They didn't know what they're doing. And the passion that business owners bring is all about, business owners are great because they see a problem and they're going to go and fix that problem, right? Like, I can go and fix that problem. And then they go and take that solution to the world and they start fixing the problem, whatever that problem is. And then suddenly the world comes and layers on top of them every single problem that it can, and end up with a situation where, oh, we're just underneath the weight of the world. And all we want to do is help people fix this problem. Trying to just peel this stuff off and let you understand what's important. That really inspires me and drives me forward. And just get back to the basics, get back to what it is you're doing. And I love that about what you're doing at the moment. We spoke earlier and you said, I'm down to a 6-hour day. That's not about making millions of pounds. It's not about, being on the go all the time. It's about living your life. So tell us a bit more about how you went through, you were able to really discover more about yourself. Yeah. What did that look like?
To be more self-aware, you
Yeah,
mean?
yeah. In terms of understanding, it's not very often that people go through and say, I'm going to entirely change my business direction and then have the ability to do that. So often people get stuck in the business and they just, so.
Yeah, I think the most painful thing for me was coming to understanding that I have to say, you know what, the agency is not for me, and enough of the cheap. Not cheap, yeah. The hardest part was coming out, right? But coming out and saying, you know what, I've made mistakes with my marketing. I've made mistakes with my storytelling. I make mistakes, like storytelling. Not, I didn't really make mistakes storytelling, but I can improve and add brand positioning and other elements. But the hardest part was because I worked with, as you know, was with you, but I worked with other clients as well. Like universities and big brands, it's like, shit, what they are gonna say, that, oh, am I a scammer? I'm not a scammer. I never tried to cheat anyone. But the hardest part was just understanding, you know what, I'm Alex and I made mistakes and that's fine. And enough with the cheap stuff. I would hire a developer and let's do the website bam bam quickly. Let's do the design bam bam quickly. And with the new brand, I said, no, I'm not gonna do myself. I'm gonna hire a professional. And I found a really good developer, a designer, and we're going to work hand by hand together. And obviously, that costed me triple the price. But that just shows that I'm dedicated to my craft, storytelling. And I want to show that my service and my product, which is me, is at the highest quality, which I need to pay. And I joined the mastermind groups that are expensive. And it's like, I learned from the best in the industry, but the hardest part was just accepting that, you know what, you're this. And you have to accept that Alex's strengths are here. And there's a great book called Your Unique Ability. So what are you really good at? And one of the biggest takeaways that I got from that is you put things that you're really good at, you put things that you're okay, you put things that you're in columns, you put things that you're average and things that you hate doing and you're not good. And basically work through that four pieces. And I realize things that you hate as well. I hate shopping. I hate like going to the supermarket. So immediately I said, I can do online shopping. It existed for 8 years. So now every Monday I go to the Sainsbury's online thing, reorder what I ordered last week because I did the same thing every single day. I save so much time. I hate shopping or video editing. I do video editing, but now I have two video editors. You know what? It's not that I don't hate, but I'm average at video editing because I don't want to spend all of my 4 hours editing one swoosh. I hired two video editors. I know it costs me money, but the video quality is so much better. Now I don't have to waste four, not waste, invest 4 hours. So I think it's being self-aware for me was painful admitting to other people and to obviously my like current partner. Yeah, she's very supportive of me. And she, that was a huge bridge to have someone so close and be like, yeah, that's fine. Because I never got acceptance from my mom. And it was always I'm bad and having someone close to me saying, yeah, it's okay. Wow, acceptance. And then I started accepting myself. I was like, yeah, this is who I am. And I will mess up in the future. And my product and as Alex, I'll improve. And yeah, I don't have to show and prove to Roy that, you know what, I know everything about fitness. I'm a fitness coach or I'm a storyteller. No, you know what, Roy? I'm a new fitness coach and a running coach. I can help you with these things. If I don't know something, I'm going to ask Alex or my mentor or David, my other mentor. And I'm going to come back to you. Before I would say, no, Roy, I know everything. I'm perfect. Now it's no, I don't know everything, but I can help you.
Yeah.
XYZ.
And that's so much when you start realizing that you don't know everything, that's when you're actually starting to master it. Skydiving. I fly around the tunnel, I go and do various things. I'm like, I just don't know anything. Yeah, but I've got 2,500 jumps, I've got thousands of hours in the tunnel. And now I'm realizing that I don't really know much. And yeah, and I see all the stuff that we're doing together and we're layering on more and more experience. Simon's got what 40 odd years business experience now. Yeah. And yeah, there's all these different layers of that experience. And it really comes down when we go through things. We do this business operating system called 90. And I met up with Simon. He came and did ice baths at my place for quite a while actually. And then it was like, okay, let's have a chat about this business operating system. And I gave him the 57-page document and I said, go and do that. And what was your take on that, Simon? Because it still sits with me today.
Initially, I did nothing. I left it on the table, never got around to looking at it. And then I'd arranged to meet Roy for an ice bath. And I got a guilt conscience. I thought, if I go and see him, he's going to ask me about this document, so I need to look at it. So I looked at it, and then I looked at it again, then I read it, because it was blew me away. And I thought, wow, this, I want to become a coach of this system, because everything I've learned in the last 40 years is encapsulated in the simple, very easy to follow set of logical instructions. And I know the next time I saw Roy, I said to him, so how do you become a coach selling this thing and teaching people how to do this? Because it resonates. I can do this because it resonates with the soul. And that's where we went forward from there. Yeah.
And it's that piece of you get to a certain level of business, right? You really get to a certain level and you realize, okay, I'm starting to realize I don't know anything at all. And then you look back at what you've learned and all those hard lessons and all those knocks and all the times you've fallen over, and you realize how much you've actually learned, right? And at that point, you can start saying, okay, so now how do I dig into this? And the training we do now and Boss Up, it's 50 years worth of the top minds in the world all coming together into one piece. So it really, like Simon says, it resonates. And with so many things that resonate, it's quite simple, really. When you go back and you look at it, it's actually quite simple, but there's so many bits that are just missing. And from your business journey now, Alex, as you're going forward, tell us what you're doing next. Tell us where do you see yourself right now? And then where do you see yourself in 6 months' time?
I see myself as a freelance, as a freelancer, not an agency owner, brand storyteller, strategist, because now more than ever, strategy is so important. in a business marketing, but brand strategy is something that 99% of businesses they don't have. And I combine brand strategy with positioning and story. So I add everything in and we create an interesting story because everybody's bored. We're all bored of boring stories. And my tagline is boring is a crime, because if you have a good product, if you have a great product, not good, sorry, if you have a great product, you should be creating brilliant marketing and brilliant stories so people can go and help, so you can serve people. Because at the end of the day, business should be about service. Any business that we are in, we should be putting our clients as heroes and be of service, be a bridge. And that's what I talked about in my book. And that's why that my whole thesis, don't be freaking ego-driven. Yeah, my business is the best business. So this is where I see myself now. And I focus and I want to help fitness businesses, adventure businesses, because I'm in the industry and the set of formulas and rules, they apply in every single business. But because I'm passionate about the industry and because fitness and running and wellness help change my life, I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to focus on this because I know well this stuff. Where I'm going to be in 6 months, a better storyteller and helping and making, helping my clients make a bigger impact with my skill set and my passion and my knowledge.
Cool. And I want both of you to just, to finish off. What has the element of fitness and giving yourself, Alex, you've gone through this journey and now you have a routine. We can talk a little bit about that. How is that getting yourself the routine in the morning? For me, it's a morning routine. I've got an hour and a half that I do in the morning, and that just sets me up for the day. And it gives me so much more energy. Tell us a little bit about that, and then someone will finish off with your view on that side of it.
I think we all have different lifestyles, but for me, some people might say it's extreme, but for me, it's like you find what works for you. So I have a non-negotiable. Non-negotiables, I don't miss a workout. Even if I travel, I do my morning routine starts at 6, 5:30, 7, it depends, but usually around 6. I do my morning pages. Morning pages is a concept that I learned from The Artist's Way, the book. You just write 2 pages or 107, yeah, 2 pages and 2,000 words. And you don't publish them, you just write. And I've been doing this for the past 3 months. I haven't skipped a day and I love it. And that basically helped me create my daily vlog, a blog on Substack, my daily thought vault. So basically 200 words in insights about how we can unlock our potential to make a bigger impact. So I do my morning pages. Then I do some meditations. I have some other rituals, spirituality wise. And then after I've done that, which takes around an hour, I have my running, and then I go to the gym. So around gym, I don't do cold baths. I do cold showers because I live in London and my place is small. I try to do it, and you know how London is. It's like I bought actually a nice bath. As I it's just the That's the thing. What I tell my clients in the fitness space and any friend is just remove of the all the obstacles that are in the middle to go to the gym, to go for a run. Now I'm struggling and I'm trying to figure out a formula for my content because I want to be more active. I help clients build their audiences to lots of followers and engagement, but mine is always, yeah, I'll do it later. So now I'm struggling in a not struggle. I'm trying to find a formula because I have a lot of obstacles to. I have to put the light on. I have to bring the mic. I have to do this. I have to do that. So I'm trying to figure out how can I remove all the obstacles. I come to my office, which is a co-working space, or I shoot at home, which I actually have a painter tomorrow coming to paint my place because it needs to be nice and fresh because you don't want to shoot with a not a nice background. So anything that has to do with rituals for me, remove all the obstacles. You want to lose body fat? For example, I have a friend, client that I'm working with. Remove all the freaking cookies from home. My fitness pal, every day, screenshot, send it. Remove all the stuff that you don't want to do. Gym. If the gym is 50 kilometers away, you're not going to go to the gym. If your shoes are like, I don't know, somewhere like hidden, everything needs to be. I wake up, my shoes are there, my dirty t-shirt from yesterday, sweaty t-shirt is there, I'm wearing it the same, I'm just going. So anything, any obstacle that we have is going to make it harder for us to get a new habit. So for me, running and gym every day, Monday to Friday, and then Saturday is a long run, is a non-negotiable. And I don't, I'm like, even there were instances where I was shooting abroad with the client. I was like, the shooting started at 8 a.m. And I was like, it's a full day on. I said, I'm sorry, I can't do 8. I can do 10. Because I said, you know what? My health is more important than business. Because end of the day, if I break down, I'm not going to be any good. So I prefer, in a way, not making less. I prefer to say no to certain things now, where before I would basically, no, that's money and that's a client. And no, you know what? This I'm not telling the clients that directly, but no, I can start at 10 to shoot. And if we shoot less, but for me, my sometimes I might skip a gym. That's definitely like I can skip a gym or I can skip run. No, but usually a gym, I say yes, I can skip that. And then if let's say I get injured or I'm very my whoop shows that I'm in red, I will take a rest day, but until I fully recover. Or there's a rule that I have more than 2 days in a row, I never skip anything in terms of fitness. Because if you skip more than 2 days, then it's easy to go 3 days. But if it's 2 days in my head, it's red. You have to go at least for
Yeah.
20 minutes.
Simon has a
Yeah.
saying.
I have a saying, skip a day, you skip a week. You skip a week, you skip a month.
Very good saying.
Yeah.
Over to you, Simon.
Yeah, I guess my drivers are, at my age, it's about lifestyle and humility. Yeah. Along the way, because I've operated at such senior levels and you get surrounded by so much ego, bullshit. That now that I'm semi-retired, what I was started doing was working as a handyman because I'm able to get down and dirty and I love it. But to do that, you've got to stay fit, you've got to stay strong. And the other thing is, staying fit and strong staves off age. Age is for somebody else, man. As my years go past, I'm determined to keep myself young at heart, young in the soul, young in the body. So I don't miss a lot from a fitness point of view, simply because strength for me is not a choice. It's a choice that is non-negotiable. You talk about non-negotiables. For me, personal fitness and health, non-negotiable, because I don't want to be have someone changing nappies on me with full of dementia and shit like that, because I don't want to get there. And how do I avoid that? Work with someone like Roy, keeps my gray matter going. Business coaching. I'm studying for my second master's on the side. Because why not? It keeps the head going. Keep the physical going. Learn how to breathe. Every day, learn new things. Never ever get to a point where you think you're a master of anything. For me, life is about a constant learning journey. And in everything, whether that's physical, mental, well-being. We do these incredible meditations with Dr. Joe Dispenza, and it's just really cool to start getting into the level of consciousness and awareness. And I just love it, man. And along the way, I have to tell you this, along the way, I came across a company that's called Nice Work. Can you believe that? So I give back. I work on weekends, probably 2, 3 weekends a month up in the Peak District as a race director on trail
Oh,
running.
wow.
And they actually pay me to do this stuff. So I get to stand on the guy, I make sure I'm on the finish line. And every single runner that comes in, I greet them, I look them in the eye, and I steal a bit of positivity from everyone. First of all, I make them smile. They come in looking shattered, and I tell them how wonderful they look, and their faces light up, and I steal a little bit of positivity, and I tuck it in here to the soul. And at the end of a weekend, I've made maybe. Some weekends we do a double trail because the trails are limited. So we'll do a trail Saturday and a trail Sunday. So I come in on a Monday and I've looked into the eyes of 1,000 people and stolen a little bit of positivity from everywhere. And I hit Monday on such a high, man. Wow.
I have to say, Simon, I'm inspired because you said there's you learn first of all, you're doing your master's, second master's, and I had this conversation with Anya a month ago that it's so hard after 50 to teach people or people don't want to learn after 50, and we have close family members I have that are like no. I know everything, and I feel bad, like bad too. I'm no expert, but there's so much potential that you have. You're such a great human being, and listening to you saying that you're still learning, it's amazing, and yeah, it's inspiring. So thank you.
The best quote I ever had was Confucius. Confucius goes back a long way. And he said, a wise man knows that he knows nothing.
Yeah.
There you go.
And on that fine note, I just want to say thank you both for joining me. You both, Simon, you've been very inspiring to me over the last couple of years, just getting me to where I need to be. Alex, you've inspired me through your journey and running and keeping that positive smile on your face. But also learning, yeah, just learning about yourself. And I think that's so inspiring because that's where we can all grow and we can all give back into the world is by knowing ourselves a bit more and aiming for the positivity. So thank you guys. It's been amazing to chat to you, and we'll do this again sometime.
Thank you, Roy.
Ciao, ciao.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Power Movers, the podcast from All the Power. Our mission is to help business owners reclaim their time, reset their energy, and live the life they love. If this episode sparked something for you, your next step is simple. Take the fit check at allthepower.co.uk. It's a short clarity tool that helps you see where you are, what's getting in the way, and what might be possible if you have the right system. When you're ready, come and join the tribe. Power Movers starts with our signature framework called Elevate 360. A system built to help you escape survival mode, create structure, and move forward with power. Just remember, everything we share here is based on real stories, experience, and frameworks. It's not personal business advice. Always speak to a coach or advisor before making big decisions. Because in the end, it's about more than business. It's about building a life that you actually love. I'm Roy Castleman, and I'll see you in the next episode.